particularly to remember. And it wasn't actually his mother. Actually, Jesus told us to remember the woman in the story that was read to us. And so what I want us to do this morning is look at that story and think, what can we learn from this woman? What can we learn from this woman? That means she's so important that everybody should remember her. It's actually quite a serious story that we're going to look at this morning. It's a serious story because we know that it happened 2 days before the Passover. Now, the Passover was when the very first Easter happens. Passover was when Jesus died on a cross. And so this story comes at a serious time and a dangerous time for Jesus. It is just 2 days before he will go to the cross. And in the story, we meet lots of different characters doing different things at this dangerous time. Now, the first people we meet are the chief priests. First people we meet are the chief priests. So we need a couple of chief priests. It's almost as if they've been warned. So we have the chief priests. And the chief priests hated Jesus. The chief priests didn't like Jesus at all. They were angry with Jesus. Because those of you who were here for the family service a month or so ago will remember that Jesus had claimed to be God. He had forgiven sins. And the chief priests were furious with Jesus. And they're also furious because they were the people who were in charge of the Jewish temple. And just before this, Jesus had gone to the temple and had thrown out all the moneylenders there. So the chief priests hated Jesus. And so they plotted with each other. They were kind of talking to each other, and they were working out how they could kill Jesus, how they could get rid of him. The chief priests hated Jesus. And then we move to a different scene. Sorry, you guys can sit down. We move to a different scene where there was a meal taking place. There was a meal taking place at the home of somebody called Simon the leper. And so we've got three people who are, in a sense, going to imagine what it was like to be at the house of Simon the leper. And they were having a meal. Again, this is 2 days before Jesus died. And so they were there, they were having a meal. Jesus was there as well. We haven't actually got anybody playing Jesus. These are just the people who are having a meal at Simon the leper's house. Might have been a slightly more substantial meal than that. But actually, these were the people having a meal at Simon the leper's house. And they were probably talking to Jesus and finding out what it was like to be with Jesus. They would have been talking to him. But they'd have been having an enjoyable evening, as it were, together. And then something completely unexpected happened. Something they weren't expecting to happen at all. A woman arrived. A woman arrived at this meal with Simon the leper and his friends. And she had something with her. She had some incredibly expensive perfume with her. Now, perfume costs a lot of money. Last year, I went on one of these kind of package holiday things where you kind of have various places you've got to go. And one of the places I had to go was a perfume factory. Now, to be honest, it bored me rigid, frankly. But the one thing that I do remember noticing at the end was just how expensive this perfume was. You just looked at the price and thought, whoa! You know, perfume is incredibly expensive. And so it's something you're very, very careful about. You just put a little bit of perfume on every so often because you want it to last. And the perfume that this woman had was incredibly expensive. The people afterwards say it was worth about a year's wages. Imagine, this perfume would be worth about £20,000, something like that. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen anything worth that amount of money? I wonder, if you children, wonder what the most valuable thing you've got is. You know, the thing that if you had to take one thing out of your house, you'd desperately go and get. Perhaps it would be a present that you got for Christmas. Perhaps it would be one of these PlayStation things. You know, perhaps it would be something that was kind of really, really valuable and precious. Or imagine you adults, actually. What would be the one thing you would rescue from your house, the most valuable, precious thing that you've got. Well, this perfume that this woman has is the most valuable, precious thing that she has ever had, the most precious thing that she's got. And do you know what she does with it? What would you do with it? You'd keep hold of it, wouldn't you? But she breaks this jar of incredibly precious perfume and she pours it all over Jesus' head. It's incredible, isn't it? You know, this most valuable, precious thing she has, she just pours all over Jesus' head. She can't get it back. You know, it's all on the floor. There's no point. Can't get it back. It's all gone. All gone in one action, pouring it on Jesus. Now, the group of people who are busy having this meal, they're appalled. They think to themselves, what a waste. You know, all this expensive perfume, what a waste just to pour it all on Jesus' head. They're appalled. You know, surely that could have been used for something better. Surely it could have been given to the poor. What a waste to pour all this expensive perfume on Jesus' head. I wonder what you think about it. Is it a waste? I mean, it's a lot of money, isn't it? The most precious things they had all poured on Jesus, and she couldn't get it back. Now, I wonder what you think Jesus makes of this. What do you think Jesus makes of all this perfume being poured on him? All this expense being lavished on him? Maybe he thinks, well, you know, that was very nice, but next time, you know, try and be a bit more sensible about it. Do you think that's what he would say? Do you think that's what he said? No, he didn't say that at all. He said, that's a wonderful thing you've done for me. You know, the poor, you will always have them with you, but you've just got me with you for a short period of time. It is a beautiful thing that you have done for me to prepare my body for burial. And Jesus says, actually, for the whole of time, as the message of me is told, people will remember this woman. Remember this woman who did this extravagant thing for Jesus. Well, Judas has had enough. He goes back to see the chief priests. He goes back to see the chief priests. And the chief priests, again, they're busy plotting to see how they can get rid of Jesus. You know, they actually give him money so they can arrange a time for Jesus to be arrested so that they can kill him. And they give Judas money in order to do that. So this is 2 days before the first Easter. Jesus is about to die. And what Mark has done in this story is he's introduced us to three different groups of people. Three different groups of people, and they've all got different attitudes towards Jesus. So the first group of people he's introduced us to are Judas and the chief priests. And Judas and the chief priests just want to get rid of Jesus. They want Jesus dead. Judas will take money instead of Jesus. They want to get rid of him. And then the second group of people that Mark has introduced us to are the people at the home of Simon the leper. And Simon, the people at the meal, I guess they're interested in talking to Jesus. You know, they have a meal with him. But they don't really love Jesus. They're not utterly committed to him. They're just slightly appalled when somebody does something extravagant and lavish for Jesus. Oh, they're interested in Jesus, but they're not that committed to him. They're not committed to giving the most valuable thing that they have for him. And then the third person that Mark has introduced us to is the woman. The woman who poured out her most valuable possession for Jesus. The woman who did all that she could for him. She gave her all for Jesus. So three groups, the chief priests, the people at the meal, and the woman, all having slightly different, well, all having radically different attitudes towards Jesus. Now, I've got a question for us. I think you guys can sit down, actually. Thank you very much. But I've actually got a question for us this morning. A question for all of us, actually, whether we're here for the first time this morning or whether we've actually been coming to the church for years and years. And the question is this. Which of those people are we most like? Which of those people are we most like? Or which of those people would we want to be like? Maybe that there are one or two of us here this morning who, let's be honest, are a little bit like Judas and the chief priests, that deep down, really we just want to get rid of Jesus. We don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. We don't want Jesus to be part of our life at all. Maybe like Judas, rather, we're far more interested in getting money than we are in knowing anything about Jesus. Some of us will be like that. But perhaps more of us will be like those people who were gathering at the meal. Yeah, we're interested in Jesus. Maybe we come along to church. But if we're honest with ourselves, there are things that matter in our life far more than Jesus. The idea that pouring something lavishly on Jesus or being kind of enthusiastic about Jesus, we just don't like that idea at all. We're interested in other things far more than Jesus. We don't want to give everything for him. Let me say, that might be true of us, of some of us who've been coming to the church for a long time. You know, maybe when we're young, there's that sense we're passionate about Jesus. We want to give everything for him. And then the older we get, that just fades away, so we live in a kind of nice, comfortable, respectable way, but not utterly committed to giving everything for Jesus. That was what the people at the meal were like. Or maybe some of us, honestly, could say, yes, we are like that woman. We can honestly say that for us, life is about Jesus. He does come first for us. Indeed, we're committed to giving the most valuable thing that we have, our very lives, for him. We want to love Jesus. Maybe some of us can say that we're like that woman, where the question we ask each day is this: what can I do for Jesus today? Let me ask us, genuinely, which do we think we're like? The chief priests? The people at the meal? Or the woman? What do we think we're like in our attitude towards Jesus? And what do we want to be like? You see, Jesus tells us that actually we should give everything for him. That's why the story about the woman is told throughout the age when the gospel is preached. Because we are to be like that woman. You see, many of us can get Christianity wrong. For us, Christianity is about trying to be good or going to church. Whereas at the heart of Christianity is loving Jesus, is giving everything for him, giving everything for Jesus. And I wonder whether we'll do that. But it might be that we've got a question. You know, why should we love Jesus like that? Imagine if I stood at the front of the church this morning. Actually, you don't have to imagine me standing at the front of the church this morning. Imagine, though, if I stood at the front of the church this morning and I said, come on, love me. You know, give the most valuable thing that you have for me. Would you do it?
No.
Excellent. That's the right answer. Because it would be appalling, wouldn't it? You know, why should you do something valuable for me? So why would you do anything for Jesus? Why do we love him in that way, where we're to give everything for him? We're just going to close. There are various answers to that, various reasons why we give everything for Jesus. Partly because he made us. But also I want to look at the answer that's given in this passage. Why do we give everything for Jesus? Well, see what Jesus said to this woman. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. To prepare for my burial. What was going through Jesus' mind on that night when he had the perfume poured on him? What was going through his mind? What was going through Jesus' mind was that shortly he was about to die. That was what was going through his mind. And you find that all the way through the gospel. Jesus says, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I must die. Jesus deliberately sets out to go to the cross. He deliberately sets out to die. He knew that the chief priests were plotting against him, but he ignored it. He knew that Judas would betray him, but he allows Judas to stay as part of his disciples. When it comes to his trial, he doesn't speak in his defense. If he's who he says he was, and I believe he is, he could have come down from the cross, but he doesn't. Jesus deliberately sets out to die. He knows that he's going to be buried soon. Jesus deliberately set out to die. Why? for us in our place. That's why it's right to pour everything into Jesus, as it were, because he's the one who deliberately sets out to die for us. That was why the woman was right, because she was preparing Jesus for burial, for the death that he would die in our place. So, has anybody else ever done that for you? Has anybody else ever chosen to die for you? Don't think so. I can't think of anybody else who's chosen to die for me. But Jesus chose to die for us. And that's why, like that woman, it is absolutely right to give everything to him, even the most precious thing that we have, to give everything to him. It's great at times talking to Christians who are a lot older than I am. And actually, as you talk to them, it isn't that sense of, I've got to give everything for Jesus, and it's kind of really miserable, I've got to give everything for Jesus. No, actually what they say is, I just love to give everything to Jesus because he died for me. And that's what it is to be a Christian. I just love to give everything for Jesus because he's the one who went to his burial for me. Now, it might be that we've got questions. Why did Jesus have to die? It might be that we ask, well, what does it mean to give everything for Jesus? If that's you, we run a group actually called Christianity Explored. It's an opportunity to ask that kind of question. Why did Jesus have to die? What does it mean to follow him? If you're interested, there's some forms at the back for that. I'll do have a word with me. But please ask those questions because they matter. But I want to say finally that there will be others. And maybe actually as I asked that question earlier, who do you think you're like? There was that honest answer, yeah, I'm a bit like those people at the meal. Yeah, I'm sort of interested in Jesus, but it doesn't go further than that. What I want to say is this, become like that woman. Be willing to give everything for Jesus, because he died in your place. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to be one utterly devoted to the Jesus who died for us. And maybe what we want to say to him today is this, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Help me to be like that woman, giving everything for you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do want to thank you. We've thought about others' love this morning, but Lord, we know that the greatest love that the world has ever known is you willing to die for people who rejected you, die for people who ignored you. And so, Lord, help us to receive your love, we pray, and to give our all. Help us to be like that woman, we would ask. Father, for any of us, perhaps whose love for the Lord Jesus has grown cold, Lord, reinvigorate it, we pray. May we love Jesus deeply, we ask, for his name's sake. Amen.